So today I'm going to be presenting to you some results of a formative evaluation study that we did to identify some important considerations in developing a patient navigation for colorectal cancer screening. I want to first acknowledge my co-authors, Elizabeth Rohan at CDC, Keisha Koa, who's here today and was with WestEd at the time we conducted this study and now is a doctoral candidate at Hopkins, and also Carrie Grace Morrissey and Beth Slotman at WestEd. Disclosures. So I'm going to just begin by giving a quick background on colorectal cancer, and then I'll describe our study purpose and methods, the results, and our conclusions. Based on USCIS data from 2006 to 2010, colorectal cancer is the second leading cause of cancer-related death among those cancers that affect both men and women. There are substantial disparities in health outcomes related to colorectal cancer. As you can see from the slide, men, African Americans, and Alaska Natives have a disproportionately high incidence of colorectal cancer, and these disparities hold true for cancer mortality as well. Routine screening can reduce incidence and mortality through both early detection and also prevention through the removal of precancerous polyps. Screening is currently recommended for adults aged 50 to 75 who are at average risk, and the United States Preventive Services Task Force currently recommends three different test options. Despite having good screening available, based on 2012 Burfus results, only 65.1% of adults are up to date with screening. Men, racial and ethnic minorities, and persons without health insurance, persons with lower incomes and lower education all have substantially lower screening rates. The barriers to colorectal screening have been well identified in the literature and occur at these various levels: individual, cultural, environmental, and systems. Patient navigation is an intervention that has been shown to increase adherence to cancer screening and reduce health disparities. Most of you may be familiar with Dr. Freeman's work, Harold Freeman, in the early 1990s. He implemented some of the first navigation programs for poor women in Harlem to try to reduce improve early detection of breast cancer through mammography screening. And since that time, there have been many different programs and policy related to navigation, as evidenced by this slide. I think I'll skip this because Daisy gave a bit of a definition in her introduction, and I'm going to assume a lot of you are pretty familiar with the definition of navigation. So CDC has a long history in funding patient navigation for cancer screening. All 67 grantees of our National Breast and Cervical Cancer Early Detection Program are required to provide navigation to women with abnormal screening results, and they have been required to do that since 1999. In 2009, CDC instituted a new screening program, the Colorectal Cancer Control Program, to facilitate screening, and that program also involves navigators to facilitate screening and diagnostic follow-up. We don't promote a particular approach to patient navigation, both based on our own experience. We've seen the need to have offer programs latitude in how they implement it. Comprehensive reviews by Wells in 2008 and Pascat in 2011 also showed that implementation varies considerably across PN programs. And in 2009, when we initiated the project I'm talking about today, there were huge large-scale efficacy studies of navigation for colorectal cancer screening that had been published in the literature. So the purpose of our study was to work with WestEd, who was our collaborator, on a formative study to try to identify key elements of a PN program for colorectal cancer. And that was, we were doing that to inform the development of an intervention that we would undertake as part of a randomized control trial. Now, that trial is now in the field, and today I'm going to talk about these formative results and a resulting framework that we hope and is intended to help practitioners design navigation programs for colorectal cancer screening. So in terms of methods, we had conducted a literature review and environmental scan. We relied on the two reviews I mentioned by Wells and Pascat, updating them as needed. Using a standard abstraction form, we extracted specific information such as the navigation model used, hiring criteria for the navigators, navigator training and supervision, along with many other categories. Through the environmental scan, we assessed the gray literature, including websites of existing navigation programs. And then we used a semi-structured interview guide to conduct hour-long interviews with 12 practitioners, researchers, and federal agency partners. We then developed some detailed matrices, one for publications, another for the environmental scan, each with its own set of categories, and a team of four researchers reviewed the matrices and interview notes in order to classify characteristics of navigation programs and identify key decision points in intervention design. Let's move to this first. So these are the 10 topic areas that we identified as relevant in designing a patient navigation program for colorectal cancer screening. And I'll talk about each of these momentarily, but while we've used our results here to build an intervention model for our study, we felt that the results would be especially helpful to practitioners who were designing their own programs. So we've developed this framework, here we go, to capture the 10 areas along with related questions that should be addressed to each. I know this is a lot on this slide and we'll see it broken out in a minute. But actually, a manuscript was just accepted by Health Promotion Practice and will be published in 2014 with this framework, so hopefully it'll get disseminated more fully. So let me now kind of walk through each of these areas in a bit more depth. So first, we found that relatively few PN programs were applying theoretical frameworks to their program design, and those that did were commonly using public health theories like social cognitive theory, health belief model, stages of change. In a paper 2011 led by Jean-Pierre, the authors do propose a framework that linked process, patient, navigator, and external factors to navigator outcomes. So in designing a navigation program, practitioners may well benefit from considering theory-based interventions and, at a minimum, clearly defining program goals and expected outcomes using tools such as logic modeling. The interviewers that we spoke with emphasized the importance of understanding characteristics of the priority, or the interviewees, of understanding characteristics of the priority population and of the community more broadly. For instance, demographic characteristics of the priority population will inform decisions about both the navigation services to be provided, such as translation services, and the kind of navigators or the skills navigators need to have, like being Spanish speakers. In addition, the population to be served may have unique barriers that the navigation must address, such as mistrust of the health system or cultural norms that impede screening, and then other aspects of the community, such as whether it's rural or urban, the role of churches, access to health care, all can influence the program design. We identified four unique intervention opportunities for navigation across the cancer continuum, including screening, diagnosis, treatment, and survivorship. In the colorectal cancer screening navigation programs that we reviewed, most initiate services at the point of physician referral for colonoscopy and then provide navigation through the screening completion. We found far fewer examples of navigation programs focused on facilitating fecal testing. In addition, interview respondents emphasized the importance of defining when navigation should start and when it should end in order to provide navigators clear guidance in closing cases and keeping their caseloads manageable. Another important decision point in designing a program is involves where to physically locate navigators. And in our review, we found that navigators are based in a variety of locations, including health departments, primary care practices, community health centers, specialty clinics such as endoscopic suites, hospitals, and other community settings. The goals of a particular program will influence the setting where navigators are primarily located. Most of the colorectal cancer screening specific programs we looked at placed navigators in primary care settings so that they could connect with patients at the point of referral for screening services. The method of communication between patients and their navigators may also influence where the navigators are going to be placed. For instance, more flexibility regarding setting is possible if you're primarily delivering navigation by telephone. And then this is an important issue, but access to information systems that are needed to support a navigation program or evaluate a navigation program, such as an appointment system or a patient tracking system and medical records, may also influence where you place the navigators. The range of services obviously are going to vary based on an individual patient's need. That's the idea of navigation. But we did identify categories of navigator activities for CRC screening, including recruitment, patient tracking and follow-up, barrier assessment, patient education, reminder calls for bowel preparation and colonoscopy appointments, among others. Overall, the goals and the design of the program, the training and skill set of your navigators, the characteristics of the priority population, and the needs of patients is going to influence the range of services that a navigation program provides. And on our interviews with navigation experts, they also discussed the importance of defining boundaries on the types of patient navigation services delivered in order to keep, again, navigation workloads manageable, but also to ensure that they're not trying to address issues kind of outside their skill range or areas of expertise. So background and qualification of navigators. This is a lot of differing views on this, and we found that in general navigators are either described as lay navigators or professional navigators, although there's definitely a gray area in that classification. The strengths of lay navigators are, of course, their familiarity with the community, the workings of the community, their ability to speak the language of the community, and more affordable than professional navigators. Lay navigators can often foster trust in the health system to increase adherence to screening. And then professional navigators, on the other hand, often hold a bachelor's or master's degree in clinical or non-clinical fields. They command a bit of a higher salary, but they can conduct a broader array of sophisticated services and, such things as more involved psychosocial support, more extensive patient education. We also identified models that integrated lay and professional navigators, so dividing responsibility according to skill level. For instance, some programs used a tiered system whereby the navigation some of the issues were handled by lay navigators and other issues were handled by the professional navigators, and those people were most often a nurse or a social worker. Although there's been little research on related issues to the selection of navigators, there's more coming onto the literature now. We identified a qualitative study where research examined the processes involved in delivering navigation, and their results suggested four important characteristics for navigators that include persistence, flexibility, assertiveness, and empathy. In terms of deciding what method of communication to use for your navigation program, it's influenced by several factors, including the priority population that's being served, the navigator setting, the patient preference, also program contacts, and of course, resource. While all forms of the communication are possible for navigation, phone contact seems to be most heavily used. And in one study, we did see where an initial contact was by telephone, those patients that met the navigator in person at least once were somewhat more likely to complete CRC screening than those contacted by other methods. Training is another important area for the design of the program. I'm going to kind of hurry through these last couple. There are not nationally established standards at this point, as many of you know. We did identify several areas for training. Role playing is very important. I'm going to have to move on kind of because of time. And then supervision. We found that of those that we talked to, programs Especially for lay navigators, sometimes both administrative and clinical supervision is helpful. If there is a clinical supervisor that can help improve the integration of navigators into the clinical team. And evaluation, I think the most important point I want to make here is that it's really important in designing a navigation program to think about the data systems that you're going to have to collect information to support both process and outcome evaluation. So process measures such as the number of contacts on average they're making, the amount of time they're spending with patients, and then outcomes like screening adherence. So in conclusion, I just want to say I think the study continues to support navigation as a viable public health strategy to improve colorectal cancer screening rates. We do recognize the need for local adaptation, but we hope the framework does provide some useful information to practitioners who are designing a new navigation program. Also, there were some areas that we identified to strengthen in navigation programs, including intervention design, training, and evaluation. And I feel I'm kind of interested in how navigators can have more system-level effects in their work, especially when they're based in a health system, to modify flow processes and help support performance monitoring and so forth. Thank you. Sorry, I ran a couple minutes over.
Thank you. I would like to introduce Dr. Ron Myers. Dr. Myers is Professor and Director of Population Science, Department of Medical Oncology at the Thomas Jefferson University in Philadelphia. He has conducted cancer prevention and control research for over 25 years, has been a PI on over 20 peer-reviewed research grants, and has numerous publications in the field. His areas of expertise include cancer screening, follow-up of abnormal cancer screening test results, and shared decision-making in cancer risk assessment, treatment, and clinical trials participation.